In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, the trick to being a good legalist is this. You want to make the rules so that they are easy enough so that you can keep them, but hard enough that hardly anyone else can. That way, the rules highlight how good you are and how bad everybody else is. You want people to see you keeping the rules that you've made, and you want them to say, wow, that's impressive. They sure are good, holy, righteous, perfect, whatever. In the Catechism, we learn that there's three purposes or functions or uses of the law, the curb and the mirror and the guide, but the legalist has a different use, really only one use for the law, and that rule is the measuring stick, so that the law shows how the keepers of it have reached such a high level of goodness and how everyone else is below them. We say that the law shows our sin, but the legalist says, the law shows my righteousness. You see, the trick here is to convince everyone around that you've got a higher standard, a more rigorous law, a stricter interpretation of God's commandments, to try to convince everyone else that you've set the bar higher, but what you've actually done is lowered it, softened the law, made it easier so that you yourself can keep it, but people are really impressed by it. So the legalist takes the law and makes it a doable, manageable, keepable law. It might be tough, but you can do it. The Pharisees were expert legalists. They had it down. In fact, they were so good at the game that they still are beating us today. The Pharisees had their books of laws and rules and codes and traditions and regulations about the very most minute details of every area of life. What you can wear and what you can't, and when you can wear it and how to wear it. What you can eat and what you can't, and how to eat it, and when you can't eat, and who you can eat with, and what to do before you eat, and what to do after you eat, and what to say before you eat, and what to say after you eat, and so on and so forth. They had rules about where you could go, who you could go with, and how you should go there, how you should work, how you should sleep, and everything else. Now we look at these laws and we say, this is how we know that how good legalists they were. We look at these laws and we say, who could do it all? I could never do that. They are much more righteous than I am. And whenever you say that or think that, they've got you. You have been sprung into the legalistic trap. They have convinced you that they have attained a higher level of holiness and goodness than you have. They've exalted themselves, and they have humbled you. But do you see the trick is you could do all of those things that they are doing. You could wash your hands just so and wear your clothes just right and eat the things just as it is. But the legalist has taken the law and they've used it for their own purpose as a measuring stick so that they have put themselves here and you down here. So you've been beaten by the Pharisees, even though they're long dead. The Pharisees were legalists. Jesus is not. In fact, Jesus is the very opposite of a legalist. He is the anti-legalist. Listen now to the first verse of our gospel text. With the idea of what a legalist thinks in your mind, listen to what Jesus says. Because he's standing there in the middle of these world-class legalists who had everyone convinced of their own abounding righteousness. And Jesus says to everyone listening, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be more righteous than these guys. How do you think they would have reacted to that? We can first imagine the reaction of the people. Perhaps it was something like this. Jesus, you've got to be kidding. I look at the Pharisees and I say, I can't even live up to that standard. And now the standard is even higher? Who in the world can attain it? But think about what the Pharisees would have thought. Who does this guy think he is? Is he going to out-Pharisee us? Is he going to come with an even more stricter brand of legalism to make us look like we're lax and loose with the law? But Jesus is doing neither of these things. What Jesus is doing is wrenching the law out of the hands of the Pharisees who were misusing it and using it rightly. Those who would misuse the law now have the law used against them. For our Lord Jesus is going to take up the law and he's going to go all the way with it. Now listen, this is the great danger. We think that what the Pharisees had done is set the bar too high and Jesus comes to lower the bar. But the opposite is the case. The Pharisees had set the bar too low so that the law was there and it could be kept. Jesus does not lower the bar, he raises it. Listen, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable of judgment. But, Jesus says, but I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fire, to the hell of fire. Now that does it. That sets the bar high. Before Jesus said these words, we might have asked the Pharisees there that were in the crowd, have you murdered anyone? And they would have said, no, of course not. In fact, we probably could have asked the crowd gathered around Jesus, have you kept the fifth commandment? And they would have said, surely, I've never put anyone to death. In fact, we might have asked ourselves that question on the way in here. Have we ever killed someone? And we would have said, no, no, I've broken some commandments, but never that one. But Jesus takes the commandment and goes all the way with it. He raises the bar so high that none can reach it. He sets the standard to such perfection that none of us, not a single one of us, have lived up to it. We all stand condemned and accused by this law, you shall not murder. For which of us have not insulted a friend or a neighbor, called them a fool, or been angry with someone? So we have broken the fifth commandment and stand under its judgment and the threat of God's wrath. Jesus goes on to do the same thing with the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. There you are, thinking that you've been faithful to your spouse, thinking that you've kept the sixth commandment, when Jesus comes along and says, whoever looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery with her in his heart. And you're dead. You're guilty. You're condemned. This is true for all of the commandments, all the way through. If you think that you've kept a single one of them, then you're wrong. Now our minds say, come on, that's going a bit too far. It's one thing to hit a man on the head with a stick. It's another thing to be mad at him. We think that way because we, too, are legalists. Because we use the law to measure things up, to see how good we're doing, to justify ourselves and our sin, and to make sure that we feel good about how we live. But Jesus won't have it. He brings the law with its full force and with its intended purpose to accuse us of our sin and our failure. The law comes and shows us our desperate wickedness. It tears down the illusion of our own self-righteousness. It brings to an end all legalism. The law lays us low and humbles us and kills us. The law says, I don't care what you think of yourself. If you're proud of how good you are, or if you're despairing over your sin, I come with a true judgment against your conscience that you are a poor, miserable sinner, that you have murdered and that you have committed adultery and that you have stolen and cursed and blasphemed and coveted and worshipped idols and slandered your neighbor and your God, and for all of this you deserve the fires of hell. So the law comes swung like a hammer to demolish us. For there is, dear saints of God, no righteousness to be found in the law. Only accusations. Only curses. Only death. How then are we to be righteous? How do we obtain that exceeding righteousness that Jesus talks about when he says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven? How are we supposed to get this? This, dear saints, is the righteousness that is given apart from the law. Independent of your own goodness, and even of your own failures. This exceeding righteousness is the righteousness of your Jesus, imputed to your account by faith. Listen to St. Paul, Romans 3. But now the righteousness of God that has been manifest apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. His righteousness is given to you as pure gift. You and I, who stand condemned by the law in every single part, also stand absolved by Jesus in every way. The law that was aimed at us ended up crushing Jesus instead. And now His perfect keeping of the law is given to you. You are His righteous ones, His saints, His forgiven children. For you have that righteousness. You have it. The righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The righteousness that does not come from works, but from faith. And by that righteousness given to you, through the shed blood of Jesus, by that righteousness you shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So let the legalist be gone, and let the Christian arise. For Jesus Christ has forgiven our sins and given us life and salvation. Amen. May God keep us in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.